Welcome to Ants, Humans, Stars. I'm here today with Caleb, as usual.
An artist with a story to tell.
And we also have a very special guest, our first guest on the podcast. Yes! Woo! Jesse from Spain. Hello, yeah. Jesse.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Thanks for coming on and joining us.
I guess we should start with where does Jesse come from? Well, he comes from Spain. That's as I know him. He is just a person from Spain.
I don't even come from Spain.
No, not at all.
Not at all. I mean,
that's the shortcut way for me to view you, because no, he's not from Spain. No, he's not from Colombia. No, he's not from Switzerland. He's not from Switzerland. France.
But I'm a little bit from everywhere. All but these yes. countries, you know.
Just a little bit. Just a
little bit of a nomad.
A little bit of a nomad. Well, not that much, actually, because I'm not traveling. I'm not traveling. But,
gotcha.
But yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've been around a lot, so.
Cool.
But now I'm based in Barcelona. 6 years.
6 years, so, yeah. Exactly.
So I want to go so bad. I want to visit.
Sure.
I met Jesse 6 years ago in Barcelona, and we've been until recently because of the thing. I've been going there every year for skating, for partying, for beach. Rinse and repeat. Rinse and repeat. Rinse and repeat.
Yeah, it's definitely. Day after day.
Day after day. Only recently has Jesse finally picked up skateboarding. Otherwise, he would have been on skates, inline skates. Yeah. And so,
I'm
skating around Barcelona, smoking some weed, drinking some beers, going out to the clubs, or not. I miss that, man.
I mean, we all miss that. Clubs are not even open yet, so
I've been in my room, my club, my personal club. I've been having fun. Everybody else is like, get me out, and I'm over here just chilling, as Brandy says, sitting up in my room.
I know, Caleb, the introvert, he's like, ooh, the pandemic, yes.
Exactly.
Finally, like, a moment to chill.
Yes. I'm like, none of them can go out. None of them can do anything.
So this is our Pride Month bonus, and I found this stupid article. I was just going to start off bad with it. But the article is from advocate.com titled 10 Reasons I Love Being Gay. And we have a lot to say about it already. Caleb,
starting with the title. So I was going to like, are we going? Let's just start. So I was going to like just rip it to shreds, because I was thinking, I told Digo yesterday, I was like, being gay isn't something I think of that I love. It's just like, I just like, oh, I'm gay. It's not something I hate. It's also not something that I'm like jumping up and down, like, oh my God, I'm so excited. yeah. But then I was thinking, I was like, okay, let me try and give them a little benefit of the doubt, whoever wrote this article. Like, I am happy to be Black. I love being Black. It's not something that I would want to change. And I was thinking, like, okay, well, why do I love being Black? And I say I love it simply because of all that being a Black person, like, all that comes with that, and all that you kind of have to overcome with that. And I'm going to get to it a little later at another point. But I guess the big difference for me is that, like, I can't hide being Black. I can hide being gay. So that also kind of, if that makes sense, kind of goes into like, yeah, I love exactly who I am. Everything you see when you see me for the first time, like, there's nothing I would change about that. And so that's the difference for me. Like, yeah, being gay, I can, if I don't tell you, then I can pretend that I'm not if I wanted to. So I don't know. I all that to say that, like, if you love it, okay. But then I kind of, yeah, I also just feel like, is it something to love? Like, it's just in the same way that I have eyeballs. Like, I don't love, like, I don't hate that exactly I have, I just have them.
Just have them.
I like I that they're fingers. There.
Yeah,
I'm so I like that I have it. But yeah, like, I didn't choose it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this pride of my sexuality, it's weird for me to have that because, again, I didn't choose. I wrote this. I made this. Oh, I'm proud of this creation that I have decided on.
Yeah,
exactly.
But this isn't something I chose. But I am totally 100% okay with it.
Yeah,
I would rather, if you had given me the options, knowing how life is, I would have been like, yeah, give me this, give me that, give me a 14-foot penis, give me. If it's on the options, if it's even, in the options,
even flaccid, that might be a whole lot. That might be a whole lot to deal with, to handle. I'm just, you know. It'd be nice, though. It'd be nice.
I wouldn't have
hard
to get
to
up.
Use. Hard to use.
I just grab something from the cupboard.
There you go.
I think it's the end. It's basically kind of pride of the difference, I would say, you know, our pride of what is behind, but what historically is behind the difference, you know, like, you know, what we've been through, like as gay people, what were the gay fight for the right for the Greek for gay rights and all this stuff during history. And I think that's what make people actually nowadays maybe feel like this kind of pride, actually a feeling of pride, you know. I think more than actually feeling like really proud to be gay, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it is exactly. Like, we've gotten this far. Let's be proud of where we are, because before it wasn't, and now we're here. And so, I mean, that's pretty much it about, like,
the title. We just started. We haven't even gotten to the points yet.
But yeah, this website has these 10 reasons that apparently gay people love being gay. And number one.
It's written by gay for gay people, right? This website.
I can't confirm. I mean, it is advocate.com.
It's by Tyler Batson. So, Tyler, we come.
Tyler, you gay? Article. Are you gay?
Are you gay? Can you confirm? Yes. Tyler,
go ahead and confirm. number one is I am part of a political movement. You know, I guess I'll toss this one to Jesse because I don't have necessarily a feeling about this one.
Of being part of a political movement myself, not really. I'm really not into politics, really. But I mean, obviously, we are all part of a political movement. I mean, socially, because we provoke at some point, and just as I said, by this difference that a lot of people actually don't agree with, don't like, we actually just judge. You know, this makes it makes the gay movement kind of political, of this, I think. Yeah.
And I mean, right now, what was it, 2015 here in the US, we could do something. There was something in 2015 that was passed finally, or something that was, let me look it up. Something happened in 2015 for us gays.
2015 was a good year.
It was a great year. It was a great vintage.
What happened? I don't know, but it was amazing.
Supreme Court found that the bans on same-sex marriage were unconstitutional.
Oh.
That was in 2015. We already forgot. I forgot, like, obviously. But so that only recently just happened.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. A few years ago. However you feel about marriage, but the thing is, wow. Like, I mean, ever since I was a kid, it was like political, marriage, gay people, politics, and marriage. It was just this thing and the sanctity of marriage and all this stuff. And wow, like almost my whole life for it to get passed to the Supreme Court here in the United States. In Spain, what are we talking about?
Well, I think I can check this out, but I think it was earlier, probably, because I remember I was in 2015. It was definitely earlier, because in 2015 is the year I came here.
2005.
So, yeah, so it was definitely earlier.
Well, wait, so 2005 is when it was legal there in Spain?
Yeah, in Spain.
The gay marriage was legalized.
Wow. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty early. It's pretty early.
Yeah.
I remember it was the first. It was the first country in Europe actually to accept it. I think it was one of the first of it. Yeah, surprisingly,
there ain't nothing gay in Spain, except France. But I'll take Spain.
They have Barcelona. They have Troika.
I mean, Gay Pride Month, Barcelona. There's a huge waterfront harbor, and it's always filled with cruise. Well, before the thing, it was always filled with cruises. And when it was Pride Month, girl, all the gay cruises land in Barcelona, and it's just like if there were 50 million gays, and now there's 250 million gays in the city. They get off the boat, they go get on Grindr, open it up real quick, go find something to do, and go right back. They're like, "No, I got to be back at the boat at 6 o'clock because we're going to going to somewhere else. Quick Grindr hookup." God,
hilarious.
I gotta go get chlamydia really quick.
Just hold on. Just some fresh chlamydia real quick. Bring it back to the boat.
Oh, well, you guys probably have better healthcare over there, so you can get that taken care of.
Yeah, that's for sure. Dude, it's crazy. It's crazy here. People just get chlamydia like it's a cold. It's like, really, like it's, oh, you know, who cares? You just go to the hospital and say, "Oh, hi, actually, I have something weird coming out of my penis." You don't just get shot.
That's wow. It.
I mean, they don't shoot you. They just get shot.
Yeah. That was a shot that looked weird, but that was supposed to be a shot.
We're here in America. That's triggering. Okay, that's put true. Those guns away. So my issue wasn't with the political part, but in the... Because like with each point, he gives like a whole paragraph like expounding on it. And he was like, at the last sentence says, June 26th should be, because that was when the ban on same-sex marriage ended. Yeah, so June 26th, 2015. And he was saying that should be a holiday. Again, I'm coming at it from my blackness. I'm like, Juneteenth has to be a holiday before June 26th. And again, going back to just the fact that, like, I can hide being gay, but like I can't hide being black. And like my experience as a black person, for me, far trumps my experience of being gay. Because I was thinking about how discrimination I faced being gay did not come until I was open with it.
I was discrimination say that. You're black I felt first.
Being black was like, yeah, that starts as a kid. Like I remember things
out of the
kids.
Womb, you are black. Yeah. There's nothing to it. Yeah.
So I just that's just my pushback. I'm sorry, Tyler, but I think Juneteenth, which for those who don't know, Juneteenth was the day that the last enslaved people found out that they were free. And they June 19th is when they commemorate that day. And so that's got to be a holiday before June 26th.
just like. Totally about it being a holiday, but like
yeah, exactly.
Other holidays took before we get
gotta to fall
the,
in line.
We gotta fall in line.
More important, yeah. More important days, yeah.
And I think it will fall in line if people like actually have a holiday that recognizes that. Then recognizing everything else should just fall into place. But if we can't recognize this, that isn't. It isn't, shouldn't be like religious or moral or anything about it. No, it's just what happened.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. This is
ended. Yeah. That was just what happened.
Yeah.
And
then, you can't be gay like, people have the right to marry now. Yeah, this is what happened. And so now we're celebrating this. So
I just noticed that there's drop downs for these little things. So Now I'm reading the little paragraphs.
I went in depth. I went in depth. I was like, I want to see everything you have to say.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that around the world, there are countries that you just cannot even be gay or else you get.
Yeah.
Whether by people on the street or government. Yeah. Hauled away, taken away. So it is crazy that still exists. 2021, we should be flying cars, but yet we are killing gay people. Like, that's how backwards and ridiculous the world is. I don't know which countries, but like, is this still a thing in Russia? Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't think, well, they don't kill them anymore. They really discriminate them, like, definitely. I remember until not long ago, there were still camps in Belarus. Gay camps.
Poland was in the news for something anti-gay recently.
I know that Iran, for example, is pretty harsh. So
yeah, it was either Iran or Pakistan that I was reading like a couple weeks ago that there's. I just remember the headlines of Civi like there's. Gay people trying to get out of there because you can be like killed or persecuted for being gay and being open.
Well, Dominican Republic is also pretty harsh on that. I mean, it's not illegal, but you know, it's always the problem. I mean, it might be legal, but it's just about, you know, how it's perceived, how people see it, and you know, which can actually make it even harder for actually gay people to leave every day after day. Mm-hmm. Like social pressure is probably harder actually than laws that you can avoid, you know.
That's true. I mean, what you're saying, like, it may not be like illegal, but like you may not be able to do anything because the society is against you.
Yeah. Or even your friends, you know, like just do it to your friends, your family, and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was deep.
We're only deep.
I love it though. I love it. We get to laugh and be deep. We are well rounded here on Ants, Humans, Stars. Okay, we cover it all.
I mean, yeah, true crime, music history is usually light, but sometimes you've gotten serious. True crime.
It's usually all dark.
Yeah.
It's usually all dark.
Heavy. Number two.
What was it?
Number two is by knowing shame, I appreciate differences and beauty in myself and others. How do you feel about that? Is that something that you love about being gay?
No, I how does this work?
I love being shamed.
I love being
shamed. Well, he's saying
I love my shame because it makes me it makes my mind more open. You know, that's basically what it says. So
yeah. I get it. You're like, yeah.
Well, I don't think so.
With the shame, I don't want to say normal people. Okay. Shame might equal, what is it when you feel feelings? You feel somebody else's feelings? Empathy. Shame might have given you empathy. Because, yeah, I was bullied as a kid. I was hit on a lot. Hit, and then, you know, I feel this whatever. Or I was gay and I was hiding it and I felt the shame and then I may feel more compassion and empathy for people in the exact same situation or just in general. But that is really, really too generalized because I don't think everybody who has felt shame changes their life.
But he talks about it in a general sense.
Let me open up this paragraph. Okay.
Yeah. He in the paragraph, he talks about it as like a we, as in like this is what every gay man feels. And my response to that is this is definitely a person by person thing, which most things, pretty much everything in life is, because I mean anybody who's been on Grindr in the last 10 years and is a person of color has seen one, gay culture is very white centric, and so anybody who's a person of color has been on Grindr, especially here in America, I don't know what it's like in other parts of the country, but here in America I've been on Grindr and you see people's profiles, no blacks, no Asians. Oh, I only like, yeah, I'm interested in other white people. Mm-hmm. So that's showing that you act like you don't have empathy or any, like you're actually just,
correct.
You're continuing to push this othering of people, and you're not doing it othering them by their sexual orientation. You're othering them because of their race and ethnic background. So you're not, all I'm saying is that just because you're gay does not mean that you're going to be empathetic to other people. Like, you can still be an asshole and treat people.
There are lots.
Who has met a gay asshole?
There are lots.
Exactly. Well,
I mean, there's so many
actual asshole, though. I mean, I met a right. few of those. But I mean,
personality-wise.
Exactly. No, it's great you bring that up, because that's the perspective I like was thinking. I couldn't articulate, but exactly. That's a great example. You have so many people saying, know this, know that, know whatever. But I thought you had some troubles. Mm-hmm. Also, that might be an edifice of the past, because today, in the right places around the world, a kid is born, that kid's gay, and like that, their family is just like immediately, yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, they don't even think about it, because everything around them, the TV shows they watch, the schools they go to, their friends, their family are all like, oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah, aunt, you know, and daddy and dad, because it's so open in certain people's lives. So some people are growing up with no shame, and in a good way, like good for them. And so even more the reason, like, you think every gay has a shame, but like there are people who are being born now who are not going to have it, and people who did, who don't do anything with it, like didn't change their lives at all. So,
and again, if you haven't, I'm gonna get deep for a second. If you haven't matured and healed yourself, that shame and everything that you felt for being gay, then you're just gonna put that off onto someone else for whatever reason you feel like they should be ashamed for. So, yeah, you being treated badly. I mean, it's like the saying, "Hurt people hurt people." Mm-hmm. And so, there's plenty of people who, yeah, they have been hurt, they've been treated badly, and then they just go do that to someone else. And so again, he's talking about it in general terms. So that's why I say it's like a person by person basis. There's amazing gay people who are empathetic and kind and have learned, and then you have the complete opposite. So Diko just takes a deep breath, and that's been your Oprah moment here on As Humans.
Oh my god, I will spell.
Diko's deep. Oh my god.
I full disclosure, I was tweeting at that very very moment. This episode. So, anyways, but yeah, no, I said my piece on that.
Did you want to add anything else, Jesse?
No, and I'm not much else to say. Actually, I mean, I totally agree with that. So I think it's, there are a lot of mean people anywhere in any movements. So in all kind of movements, I mean, it's just not. I mean, your differences doesn't make you a good person to say.
So, yeah, right.
Definitely not. That's the thing. Yeah.
This next one, I mean, we're just going problematic. Number three, I live in a global community without borders.
Should we read the paragraph?
There's nothing more wrong, I think. Sorry.
Jesse, take it away. Jesse's like, I got this one.
Nah, I'm sorry. No, but I mean, there's nothing more wrong, I think, because just within, I mean, like, within the community, there's so many borders, so many so many limits, so many castes, you know, this kind of gay, this kind of gay, this kind of gay, they don't mix, and they all judge each other. And so, no borders? Hell no.
Yeah. There's that gay bar, and those gay bars, and
made for that kind of gay.
Made for this type of gay person, and then we already talked about the politics. Borders? You said borders, and that was instantly triggering, because think about Iran.
Yeah.
No borders. Like, there's a border. I feel it. I'm inside of it. But yeah, you want to read the paragraph? You want me to read the paragraph?
Sure. Or okay. Yeah.
Social media hasn't just brought us Grindr and the Scruff.
The Scruff.
The yeah, I didn't understand.
The Scruff? He likes Scruff. It's also brought us Gay B&B and Mr. Bean B. Traveling teaches tolerance. And when teaching anything, there's power in numbers. When we invite other LGBT people into our homes, LGBTQ plus, he's not even up to date here. Well, this is written 2017. People in our homes and navigate our cultures together, it gives us an opportunity to reflect on where we came from. What can we learn from Thai Buddhism without accepting transgender people into society? How can we elevate our spiritual identities to what Native Americans refer to as two-spirit? Oh my God, this is so problematic. It's close contact. It's in this close contact with other LGBTQ plus that we can contextualize our experience from global to a local level. There are so many things wrong with that sentence. So that's just that paragraph.
Yeah, when I first read that, the first thing I thought about was how. I can't say I've necessarily experienced this, but I have had many gay people tell me they've experienced being in a setting with a bunch of other gay men and then being told, oh, you're not gay enough. So this idea that there's this, as he says, global community, like you guys pointed out, like there's so many different factions, of like, oh, this is how we show our gayness, and over here this is how we show our gayness. So like, that's not at all. It's just no. We would like it to be a global community, but it's not. It's not.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say really quick. So when I think of a gay community, I specifically think of American gay community and gay culture, which again is very white centric, and it's very much like, as long as you agree with everything we agree with and go along with everything we say, then you're cool. But if you question anything, if you are like, oh well, maybe there's a different way to look at this, no, you're wrong, and you got to do everything the way we do it and like everything we like it. Yeah, I feel like it's actually very narrow to be a community that's supposed to be so open.
And yeah, so that's what I was gonna, you said American, so back to Europe, my feeling of being in Barcelona is like, if there's borders in Barcelona. So like extreme, like this is where the twinks go, this is where the daddies go, this is where the blah blah blah, and this is where, and everything's like separated. But is that's first question is that the same for all of Spain? To once you cross Spain into France, how's it in France? I've been to France once. Anyways,
it's actually it's the same for all Europe. I think I've been in France. It's just the same. It's exactly the same. You have twinks in a bar. You have bears in another. You have mature in another. Sometimes if a mature just dares to step in twinks bar, you know, it's like, oh my gosh. But and he's judged, of course, like he's, you know, like everybody's gonna be like, who's that old fuck, and like nobody wants him there. So I mean, it's really, yeah, that's really weird.
And vice versa, I mean, you'll have like,
yeah, and vice versa,
the bear,
yeah,
daddy, yeah. And then a little twin comes up, and from you know, for some of them I guess they'll be like, ah, but for most of them, like, what's this young pathetic fool doing here? He can't even buy himself a drink, you know, or some classism and economic status goes into all this stuff. And is there any difference? I mean, okay, so yeah, Spain and France are like right next to each other. That makes sense. Mediterranean. What about northern, up in the freaking snow, ice caps? Is there a difference up there?
I haven't been either. I don't know. I can say
because that's.
I've heard it's pretty open. Actually, I don't know if from what I've heard from Amsterdam. Or some other places. I think it's more open, but I don't know. I can't say really.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've been to Amsterdam a couple of times. I've always been with somebody there, so I haven't been like to Amsterdam just like open up Grindr, you know, like that has been my but I'm wondering, is there a stratosphere like there is in the United States, like being gay in the North kind of better than being gay in the South, you know? And so Europe, it's like, well, the Mediterranean is in the South and everything is about being naked and open.
It's better to be gay in the South, I would say. Yeah. Oh, I would say probably. Well, maybe not in the South of Italy, because they're really, really machismo there.
Machismo.
Yeah.
Machismo is a huge enemy of everyone, to be honest, it's not even gay people. It's like everything.
Everything.
Machismo slash patriarchy, which is what we would say. You have to act like a man. Oh, Jesus.
The male chauvinist.
Accomplish what?
Just jump some moods. I don't know.
I was listening to, of course, I listen to it every day. If you haven't, Jesse, please listen to, it's a couple of drag queens, Bob the Drag Queen and Monet Exchange, and they have a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So good. So funny. Yeah. My God, it's so funny. Sibling rivalry. And they were talking about I lost my train. What were we just talking about?
About machismo and acting like a man.
Patriarchy.
They will always encounter this, and what's hilarious to them is how they could be like full-on trying to be feminine in their look, in a typical drag queen kind of, you know, trying to emulate femininity, or sometimes it's just like really fashionable attire, and there's only like they're only feminine because they have boobs, you know. It's not necessarily that they have all the fixings, but they'll have like one little strand of pink hair, and then quote unquote straight men will hit on them. But they're just like, really? This strand of hair is really what's selling, because everything else that I put on is nothing what a typical guy will, but this padded ass, this one strand of hair, these nails, really? That's what's getting you off? It's so pathetic to them to think that that is what you, that's what sells to you in your sexuality and whatever, because it's so utterly basic in the way they think. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
That's the thing. It's basic.
That's the T. Okay.
Pressing on. Number four. I am an ambassador of diversity.
Number five.
Again, American gay culture. Again, American gay culture is very white centric, and also since we're in this time where, especially in Hollywood and entertainment, there's a big push for diversity. Just seeing a gay character is not fully diverse to me, because I don't want to just. It could be an all white cast, and then you have the white gay person, that's still not diverse to me. Like, I don't want to watch a whole bunch of white centric movies, and then they're checking their box that, oh, it's diverse because it has gay white people. And I'm like, no, that's not.
Just like the horror movie that checks the blonde girl, the dyes, the black guy, the dyes, the gay guys.
So I don't think that gay automatically be, and I say that specifically because, yeah, you can be gay and be from any ethnic makeup. So, like, yeah, just like being gay doesn't automatically mean being diverse.
an ambassador really just, it's just colonizer talk.
Yeah.
And we'll be back after these messages. Now, it's like white people colonizer, like I'm going to, or religious, I'm going to spread this to other people. And it, I don't know, it doesn't, that also doesn't feel right. Why do I have to, just because of my sexuality, all of a sudden I'm an ambassador to something? I was going to say, is that what straight people think? Yeah, that's what straight people think. Yeah, they are ambassadors. They want to spread their seed all around the world and make sure it's straight.
Well, you know what? I know I stepped away for like 2 seconds. I will say I kind of understand. I wouldn't use the word ambassador, but I understand the idea of, if you're the only one representing whatever you're representing, going into a space, even if you don't want to be, you are the voice for that entire group of people. Like right now,
the only gay in the village.
Yeah. Like if you're the only gay person in, yeah, a neighborhood full of straight people, then like people are looking at you as like, oh, well, you speak for every single gay person.
You that's speak ever gay. Lived.
Yeah.
How do you say speak gay? This and gay.
Yeah. I mean, the same thing applies to what? Being Hispanic or being black or being Asian, whatever. So I kind of, again, I wouldn't use the word like ambassador,
because it has some responsibility in there. It's like, it's not my task to do this.
It's not, exactly. That is the thing. It is not your responsibility, mm-hmm. though. Even though people will put that responsibility on you.
Yeah, definitely. People do that. People do that a lot. I mean, whenever it's like, you know, like being the gay friend, you know, it's like you are like mm-hmm. all the gays, and it's terrible, you know, like it's
exactly. Oh, don't worry, I have a gay friend. I know everything there is to know about gay people. And if it were that case, I mean, if it really was a real ambassador, like an actual with political leverage, as opposed to just, you know, that's what ambassadors get to do. And for a lot of countries, not even allowed in if you're gay. So it's like, ambassador, I don't know. We don't get a parking spot. We don't get anything. We don't get special airfare. There's no ambassador talk when it comes to gay people. I kind of jive, but this is, it's just this article. Number 5, I am a cultural influencer, and this is the one I'm talking about. Like, I kind of jive with this one, but I personally have trouble separating, am I this way in my style because of my gayness, or is it because of me and for
my charisma,
uniqueness, nerve, and talent, you know?
There you go.
I don't know. I don't think that my fashion, and this is speaking for me, my fashion and the way I whatever, is it because I wasn't sucked into the world of a straight white man that is the kind of the leader of all fashion and economics here? Or is it because, yeah, so I'm thinking it's not so much that I'm gay, it's that I wasn't part of that, and I was able to really just do as I will. Like, I didn't think of, oh, I'm gonna do this because, oh, I don't want to look gay, or I'm gonna get that because I don't want to look gay, or I'm gonna get that because I want to get a girl, I want to be masculine. No, I don't think about those things. Mm-hmm. So whatever I am, I think I'm just, that just comes from me. That's the way I feel about it. But if it weren't for gay people, I guess we wouldn't have a lot of, I mean, Jesus, if it weren't for gay people, we wouldn't have RuPaul. So, and I love that show.
Which I'm glad you brought up RuPaul, because everyone listening is going to hate me by the end of this. But again, I think black culture is more influential than gay culture. And RuPaul is black.
That's true. That's true.
That's true.
I'm just saying.
That's true. Yeah. Because
there's so many more things that actually come from black culture, I think, like artistically speaking, you know, mm-hmm. like culturally. Yeah, definitely. In the music, in the arts in general. I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's more influencing. It's more influencing, definitely.
Even gay, the gay uprising, even gay politics and everything have been run by black people trying to do that 50 years before, you know, trying to get their rights and everything. So,
yeah, from Marsha P. Johnson, who was like the leader at the Stonewall riots, to the guy, his name is Bernard Rustin, I think I'm correct. He was a gay black man, and he actually pretty much wrote Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. And a lot of people don't know about him because he was kind of pushed to the side because he was an openly gay man. But just to that point of that intersectionality of being gay, but also as many black people at the forefront of like, and again, I think it stems from, me as black people, we automatically have to deal with just what people see and do when they just see us physically. They haven't even interacted with us. The gay part comes second. And so, especially for your black people, it's like, okay, well, we've already had to deal with this being black. Like, I'm gonna just push even harder when it comes to being gay. Like, so if that makes sense.
You're right you're right. You brought up Stonewall riots, and that's a great point. So, Jesse, do you know about the Stonewall riots?
No.
Okay. Where we are in gayness in the United States today wouldn't be here if it weren't for this situation. And to call it riots is also a misnomer because it was an attack on a community. And that's what happened. It's like riots. Like, what are you talking about? People weren't protesting. This was like an attack on a discrete community in New York. So what happened was there was some gays in New York. And as Caleb pointed out, a lot of them were black and a lot of them were also trans. So that's one thing also that the gay community tends to leave out is trans people have also spearheaded where we are today. Like if it weren't for trans folk, we wouldn't have all our rights as well. So trans black folk and others were going to this bar. I think it was actually called Stonewall in Greenwich Village. It was in Manhattan, and it was actually protected by this like gang, this mob. They were giving them like protection. And why? Because the mob saw that gays love to party and spend money, and why not? So they were like, they didn't care about gays. They just cared about the money, and they were like, let's protect them.
Yeah,
give them some protection, whatever. But something happened where that protection gave out. And cops wanted to go in there. And they would raid many bars. And even the Stonewall, they would raid them, but they would like know it was coming because of their protection. So they would just like hide all the gays in the back. And then like the cops would come in and they'd raid and they'd see nothing and they would leave. But this time around, they didn't have that, or it was too late. Mm-hmm. And the cops came. They dragged people out. They beat,
but they
people.
Fought back. Yeah, they did do all that. Yeah, but
yeah,
that's what it became a riot because they fought back.
And you know, I'm not gonna get all into it, but like this led to so much, just like is happening today. Like you beat somebody, a black man in the street, and you kill him. And then we all know about it. And then we're all like, okay, no. So this was what was happening then with these riots. And this was in 69.
Yeah, I don't think we didn't have that kind of that kind of riot. I mean, I've heard a lot of histories that happened back in the days of in the 60s with the gay movements in the US. I mean, it's there's been a lot of histories around there. I mean, here in Europe it's been more quiet. I think there's been a lot of cases also, but more quietly. I think it's haven't been that much public.
And I'm wondering how much like was there a bleed over? Like America did this, and then did Europe follow suit? Did Europe do it before? you know, I'm questioning those things. I don't know. You know,
well, you know, I just thought about it. It's interesting that how you guys said Spain, they legalized gay marriage in 2005, and we didn't do it 2015. Europe outlawed slavery years before the United States did. So I don't know every single issue, but it does seem like Europe realizes, like, okay, we need to change this. And then America's very like, okay, we'll do it, we'll do it, we'll do it. But after some time,
I say this all the time. Europe sends its worst people over to the Americas, to India, by the way. It's ridiculous that we still call them Indians and the West Indies. They send them to India, they hit an Americas, and they send the worst people over there. While Europe, the best people in Europe are still in Europe, and they are evolving to the future. Okay, like while you send over the worst folk to start over again in the Americas with some stupidity, Europe went to the future. And I think that's what the case is in some of the, like, why they advanced and why are they seemingly better than us in a lot of things is because they had this like forward track that was able to continue. You know, they went through their shit, but then they evolved. And then they're here, but we had a setback here with some white folks starting some crazy stuff. And we're only
just now
getting to where maybe Europe was 400 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And not in technology, not economics and not whatever, but the ability to progress forward was stunted by this. Let's go over there, kill all these people, slave all these people and pretend that there's no trauma.
America has a lot of pride, because I even think about how Germany, they've at least acknowledged the Holocaust and everything that they've done. Like, America has, as a country, has not acknowledged that from a governmental, presidential standpoint. So it's interesting.
Well, because it's still really recent, and also, like, Germany, like, everybody judges and condemn what Germany did in the 40s. You know, with like for more than 50 years later, you can say, okay, well, we're sorry, and we're like, it happened. But like the recent wars, recent American wars are still really recent and still on top of the topic. So I don't know, maybe it's like harder for America to acknowledge that. I don't know. And still in Europe, we have like a lot of discrimination and stuff. And maybe it's a little bit more discreet. Like, we don't talk that much about it, you know, but there are a lot of, I mean, just here in my neighborhood, I mean, it's clearly one of the worst of Barcelona. It's, I mean, like one of the most popular, one of the poorest. And I mean, just this year, I mean, last year with the pandemic, it was terrible. There's been like so many murders and just in this neighborhood, and nobody cares. Like, basically, Spanish government, like just the city government, like the city place, just doesn't care. They don't do anything. And I mean, we also have a lot of transsexuals being harassed and killed, and I mean, it happens. But maybe not in such a big scale, probably. Yeah.
I have the feeling that Europe at least pretends. And then something happened in the US where we stopped pretending recently. Like, there's no more pretending. The racists are now openly racist, and they'll tell it to your face. And it's like they were always racist. They were always that way. But they had this kind of like filter when they went in public. However fake it was there. Now it's just they don't care. They just want to say whatever it is. So I've been dying to talk about number six.
Number six.
I am sexually liberated.
Sexually liberated.
I do feel that. I jive with that. I equal with that. I am that. Definitely. I am a sexually liberated person in so many ways. How I'm not. It's just that, like, one, my sexuality doesn't bring a contract with another person immediately when we start seeing each other. It seems like that's the way. It's like all of a sudden this must, and then marriage, right? That's how straight people seem to like run their lives. It's like I meet this person, and this person will eventually lead me to marriage and kids. Like it's everything. Everything is an opportunity to marriage and kids. I'm like, wait, whoa, just that alone, and then to have somebody who is on my level as far as what to do, where we're going to go, what we're going to watch, usually jives easy when you have somebody of the same sex. And we're going to talk about Grindr, but what do you feel?
I was going to let you go, Jesse, since I've been talking.
Oh, well, I mean, I couldn't agree more. But I'm sexually liberated, definitely. No, yeah, of course. Of course. I mean, a little bit less like now that I'm in a relationship. But definitely, I mean, here in Barcelona, it's so easy to actually, I mean, when I was in Switzerland, because I lived in Switzerland and here in Spain, I lived in France also, but mostly in Switzerland and in Barcelona. And it's like Switzerland and Barcelona is day and night, definitely, because in Switzerland people are close-minded. It's kind of, you know, there's not a, there's no gay culture. I mean, there's like maybe one gay sauna. I mean, there's one gay sauna.
And you know it.
Now maybe there's like maybe now there's two. I of course definitely I had the free pass. Bitch.
You
know the.
You got that year pass.
You know, multi pass VIP.
Hey.
So no, but yeah, I mean, it's crazy. There was nothing when I was there. Like, so let's talk about 10 years ago. I mean, it's been 6 years here, but I mean, I was like actively, you know, in the gay movement in Switzerland. It's like a lot to say, but anyway, going out and everything like maybe 10 years ago. It didn't exist. And then I came here in Boston. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Hey!
I am out, you know.
I have arrived.
So no, definitely. I mean, I think maybe gay people are maybe a little more sexually liberated than straight people. I don't know. Is it just that there are less taboos, maybe just in the gay movement and the gay culture in general than
if you go out with somebody, you met somebody, and you hooked up with them that evening, you tell your friends, there's like little backlash, you know? And there may not be that backlash for the male part of a hetero couple, but the female, obviously, for any number of reasons. Oh yeah, I went and saw this guy and I hooked up with him yesterday, last night. Like I just met him. There are people who would see that as like, you know, like you put out so early. You're and fill in the blank of what a woman is called for just being, just doing what they want to do. Like it's not even like they're getting, they are doing, like, I mean, you know, it's just like, yeah, one little piece goes into the other, but like, they're both enjoying it, girl. You know, we both, and like hetero people, they have this thing and we have the other version, but like we're in a male to male, like we don't necessarily think, oh, only one guy is enjoying, only one part of this is being enjoyed. The other one is just there, you know. No, they're both enjoying this and they both liked it, which is I think why there's less backlash for hooking up immediately, hooking up later, whatever. It's actually on the reverse, right? You've been like seeing this guy for like 2 weeks and you're like, and yeah, no, I haven't hooked up with him. I'm like, what exactly? What are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Go.
Yeah, right now.
You've been friend zoned.
So I definitely do feel sexually liberated. And I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, I definitely think that's a good thing. But the other side of that is I do think because gay men are so sexually liberated, that like I personally feel like sex is too often automatically linked to just being gay. And so it's like, oh, you're gay, well then you're sleeping around with a million people. And it's like,
I wish.
That's not the case. Yeah. Like if that is the case, then like, okay, fine. I'm not judging you. But that is not an automatic it's not an automatic that, oh, because I'm gay that I'm just hooking up with everything. Or not even, that's the thing, not even hooking up. And what I'm about to say comes a little bit from homophobia. But this idea that because I'm a gay man, I'm attracted to and trying to get with every single guy I pass.
That's the thing. A lot of straight people think that.
Yeah. And it's no, like in the same way that, as a girl, like, same way as a girl, you're not trying to get with every guy, and every guy, you're not trying to get with every girl. Like, I don't see a guy and I'm just like, oh, I want to be with him. I want to have sex. And I think, if I'm being honest, I think that kind of comes from, again, like I said, partly homophobia, a little bit of that, but also because gay culture is so free with sex that it kind of bleeds over to this idea of people who are not sitting, not having a conversation with gay men, that it's like, oh, well, yeah, that's all gay people want to do. They just want to sleep around. They just want to have sex 24/7, every single day, all the time. And it's like, no, that's not the case. Like, there's plenty of gay men who want to be in a relationship, who want to have a partner, and have that partner as like, and build something with that partner. So, you know, sex aside, actually build a relationship and a life. So, yes, I do feel sexually liberated, but I also feel like in some ways it's kind of, it paints gay people in a light that all we care about is sex. And that's just not the case. So.
Yeah, I said it here, but I feel what you're saying is, I mean, I hear like all these old cliches, you know, about gays, like, yeah, they want to hook up with all the guys, or you know, I don't know, it's yeah, I feel it's like this a little bit like, I don't know if it's like really like a homophobia. I wouldn't say it's homophobia per se. I mean, it's more like, it's just like when a straight guy asks you, when you're having sex, who's the girl, who's doing the guy? Like,
yeah, well, basic bitch.
You know, basic bitch. Just it's not even about homophobia, because it's not insulting you. It's not accepting you. It's just like not understanding and just not knowing anything. You know, like, just not thinking it through.
Homophobia for the guys who are like, for the guys who are, I'm sorry, yeah, I guess I should explain. I guess I said that for the guys who are specifically homophobic and they're like, oh no, I don't want to hang out with a gay guy because he's gonna hit on me.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, just because I like guys doesn't mean I like you. Yeah.
Ain't nothing about you that I want to touch.
Exactly.
Like,
I transparent though, I have been to many a pride parade in San Francisco, and totally on the same page on everything that you've said. I will say though that in pride parades in San Francisco and other parades that aren't necessarily pride, like the Folsom Street Festival, gays are having sex on the street.
I've never been, but I've seen the videos.
I've been there. I haven't been involved in the scenario, but I have been there on the street, and there are just, I mean, everything. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like, and getting back to the click, so there's like the leather bondage area when you're going through the area, and it's like, okay, whoa. And then, you know, whatever, and then this, and people having sex on their balcony. It's just like, it is totally I don't want to say apart, but it is just this piece that is
usually
celebrated, especially during Pride months. It's like we got a parade and there's definitely somebody having public sex somewhere in that Pride parade. It is like guaranteed you're gonna find it somewhere. So I just want to say that for anybody who's like, well, I've been to a Pride parade and gays haven't having sex, and I'm like, yeah, they are. And one, a lot of them in San Francisco are what's it called? Wow, I forgot what this is called. When you have sex on video, you're a porn sex model. Star? Porn star, thank you. Wow. Wow.
That's Jesus. Digo for you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you.
But okay, I'll be here all week.
Anyways, just to close that point. So yeah, they're porn stars. There are like those are people who are totally out there with their sexuality. Who cares that they're gay? Like they are that way in whether they have been straight, gay, whatever. It is less to do with their sexuality. It's more has to do with. No, it has everything to do with their sexuality. It has less to do with their preferences. It's just like mm-hmm. this is what
yeah,
I
want. Definitely, whatever. Definitely.
But the majority of people are just everyday folk like us, you know, with our banners, whatever, walking the streets, doing our thing. You know, we're not just fucking out in the middle of the street. That's not the classic, typical gay person. No.
Mm-hmm. But can I ask, do you think that harms, helps, or has no effect? And I only ask that because... look, straight people out here just as freaky and getting it on like gay people. But you're not seeing a big, well, there's no straight pride parades, which there shouldn't be, but you're not seeing seeing straight people out here doing
you mean
that.
Like everyday two, people walking
exactly. But then two, you're not seeing like lesbians having sex like that. Like that is something very specific, and I'm asking so you True guys can tell me if you feel otherwise. I feel like it's very specific to gay men, and so
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just do you think that harms? Does it help? Do you think it doesn't matter at all? That's just for me. It kind of leads to my point of like I feel like gay men are overly sexualized, and I feel like that is like something that we have a part in.
Let me say one thing. I think part of the reason is they want to kind of like blast the gayness out as much as possible. The rainbow. Bah! I am fucking somebody in the middle of the street. Look at my gayness. But you know what? I am a little bit repulsed when I see like a hetero Definitely. Couple just kissing in the... I'm just like, you know, like... So I'm just saying those two things. To answer your question, I don't think... It hurts, but I don't think it's nothing. I think it's something. I don't think it hurts necessarily, but it is something. And I'm also trying to think that they're doing that to compensate for the fact that at one point gays couldn't even hold hands on the street, let alone kiss. But you guys are just full on doing it. Like, ugh, I don't want to see any of that from anyone, really, to be honest, unless I'm sexually attracted to both in question, I might want to look at it in the privacy of my home.
You know, and again,
not necessarily on public because I can't do anything about it.
mm-hmm.
Secretly record and I'll enjoy it later.
Anyway.
well, I don't know if it's only from gay people, actually, because as you were asking, actually, I mean, in Switzerland we have like what would be a straight pride, it's not a pride, it's called like a street parade, and okay. So it's cars, you know, these trucks with music, and so it's basically the same, exactly the same as the gay pride, as the street parade, in Zurich, mm-hmm. and that happens too. So I think it's is it due to the drug? I mean, yeah. I think it's more the drug.
But is there
the focus? The euphoria, you know, the moment of all these people.
But the parade is, I'm straight. We're going to this parade.
Yeah. I mean, it's not. I'm straight. I'm going to say I'm straight in the parade. I mean, no. It's like it's a party. It's a huge street party. But it just works the same because there's this parade, so people are walking all through the city, and
mm-hmm.
it's huge. So many people. I mean, you probably see some picture if you look for a streets parade in Zurich.
Mm. Well, thanks for that education. See, that's why I'm asking questions so I can learn.
We haven't even gotten on Grindr. Okay, so, and I love how we're like, yeah, gays aren't focused on necessarily sexuality, but this is going to be our longest segment. So, before we get into that,
we're just going to park right here.
We're going to park, station, the car is going to get rusty. When did you guys come, what age, you don't have to explain the story, but when did you out of the closet? Personally, freshman year of college.
I think I was 16 or something.
I think I was 22. I'm going to say more so 23.
Okay.
And also, let me clarify, because I had this conversation with my cousin, always laugh. I consider coming out of the closet when I told my mama.
Exactly. Like, that's what I said.
Nobody else mattered. When I told my mom, that's when it was official. Okay, we're out here. Mm-hmm. And that was, like 23.
So same for you, Jesse. 16 is when you told your mom.
Well, actually, it was a little bit. My sister told my father for me. Because I told my sister.
Jesse's gay.
I don't even know. It was pretty funny because I was in Chile at the time. My parents sent me to Chile to learn Spanish, which I didn't do at that age at all. Well, I learned some words, but not the good ones. And and so I told my sister, actually, back in the day it was MSN still that we were using. MSN. I told my sister that I was gay. I don't remember how it. How we jumped on the subject. But anyway, I told her, and she was like, "Well, just like, I hope it's not gonna take too long for you to tell mom and dad, because I'm not gonna hold it for a long time." And so I didn't really care. I never really like felt like I needed to come out of the closet. Like, you know, I mean, it was really, for me, it was like, I'm gay, I'm straight. I mean, whenever I feel the time is right, I'm just gonna introduce the guy or the girl I chose to my parents. You know, it was really not a big. I knew from the start they were not gonna judge me. I really had this chance. So I've been lucky about that. Yeah. That's pretty really open minded parents, so that's pretty cool.
And the reason why I'm asking is, like, basically for me, it was like, once I stepped out, I mean, before I was definitely on, but like, especially after I opened that door. Well, at the time it was a lot of Adam for Adam, but then it was Grindr, right? And it was just like, basically, after mom knew, there was no hiding it. And so I could just open the apps and I could just enjoy really using and going and doing whatever. Even if I wasn't even at home, it just felt like I had more liberation post. So as I revealed, Adam for Adam was definitely my first go, and I don't know if you guys know what that is.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Did you have Adam for Adam? Yeah? Well, yeah, that was like a browser-based Grindr scenario.
Yeah.
Met two guys that became boyfriends after that on Adam for Adam, and then Grindr hit, and I remember the day. I remember the whole situation when I first found out about Grindr. It was like, what's this? And it was my first party in San Francisco. I was fresh off the boat. I'm in San Francisco first couple of days, and I'm going out, and I was there with my good friend Catherine, and for whatever reason, like, we separated that night. Like, we went out together, but then I was like, I guess I found some guys, I can't remember that specifically, and then I was like, I'm going to a party, but it was a bunch of gays, so I was like, you know, I'm gonna go, because God knows what this is gonna be like. You know, I pictured, who knows what I was wanting, who knows what I was picturing, but that's not what happened. I get to this party and it was just Tina all over the place. She was there. It was only Tina. For those of you, meth. So it was a meth party that I had been invited. My first party house party that I ever went to in San Francisco was a meth party, and I I didn't partake. I didn't even know it was a meth party until halfway through my visit there. I was like, because I assumed everything that was, I was looking on like the corner of my eye, I thought that was weed. I'm in San Francisco. You're lighting up. It's a bowl. I assumed it was. And then I was like, wait, that's not weed. Mm-hmm. Those are some crystals. Ooh, okay. Mm-mm. Anyways, at this party though, I remember having a conversation with this black dude. He was so nice. And I was telling him everything. Like, and of course, he was willing to listen to me because he was on one. And he, a conversation when you're on Tina, bring it on, right? And so he was just listening to everything I had to say. And then he like pulls out his phone and I see this logo. And I'm like, what's that? And he's like, you don't know what this is? Oh, he's so like, you know, he was just like, oh, he's so young. And he's like, it's Grindr. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever that is. Literally, when I went home and like opened up the app and I was like, oh. And I've been trying to delete that. I've been trying to delete that app ever since.
I know, gay. It's like cigarettes for gays. People uninstall it. They uninstall it. They download it again and uninstall it again. And
I'm 2 weeks without Grindr. I'm 4 months, 2 years, and 2 days. I got my badge.
It's fucking catnip, yeah. For gays. Dude, they have the brand. They have the clothes. They have clothes. They do have clothes with the logo, with the Grindr card logo. I've seen that like, I don't know, like not long ago. I was, damn, like seriously, who's gonna wear this? Like seriously.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, talking about shame, seriously, I would kind of feel shame, you know, like to like wearing that kind of jacket.
Also because let's be honest, I mean, even though there are people on Grindr who are like, I'm looking for a relationship, I don't want to hook up, I just want to talk. Like, me personally, I'm only going to speak for myself. I'm not going to generalize things. If I'm on Grindr, it's because I'm trying to meet somebody and we're trying to do some things. Like, it's not because I'm on here trying to meet my future husband. And I say that because there are so many other... And all this is to your point of, I'd be embarrassed to wear a Grindr shirt. Because, yeah, I'm like, there's... Like, yeah, that would just, I don't know, I would feel a little, I don't know, yeah, I wouldn't want to do that. Also, I mean, because there's so many other apps that are better. But Grindr,
would you wear shirts with your OnlyFans link?
Yeah. Exactly. Or anything, Instagram, Facebook. I'm not going to wear any sort of social media crap.
I try and stay away from logos. Like, I can't even stand people who walk around with Louis Vuitton and Gucci all over there. I'm just like, nope. I'm not trying to represent anybody else but Caleb. That's it.
Horror stories with Grindr.
You know what I do, and like, I'm just like, ugh. I have to say I was very naive. Like, I was when I first started like meeting guys, and what I remember I'm not gonna say that. But I was just very naive. And I remember I went
live, Caleb.
Right. Let me calm down. I'm comfortable with y'all not realizing, like, wait, it's about to be 1,000 people hearing this. But I do remember going to meet this guy, and I remember telling him like I wanted to fool around, but I didn't want to have full on sex. But when I got there, he was like very pushy and very like just coming on very strong. And I was like super, super uncomfortable. Like, I gotta get out of here. And I just remember I said, like, hey, I gotta run get my inhaler from my car. And I remember I left, like, I put on my pants. I don't know if I had two shirts. I just know I left a shirt there. Cause again, I'm naive and I'm young and I'm like, I don't want him to think I'm actually leaving, so let me just leave a shirt, and he'll be like, oh, he's coming back.
I get that.
I just left.
That was smart for the moment.
Yeah, I was like, I gotta get out of here. Because I just remember I'd already told him, like, no, I don't want to do this. And then he was just, yeah, he didn't care. And I was like, I gotta go.
Shakulay. Monet Exchange has a similar story. She tells it. She went to somewhere and, you know, just gonna be one guy, but it was three guys when she got to the door, and she was like, oh, let me get something, and she's like literally saying stuff, putting her stuff in her, and going to the elevator and pushing the button on the elevator because the guys were coming, and she was like, oh my god. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Damn.
I'm trying to think if I one of those.
I don't have that thing. Thank God.
Right?
Thank God. Yeah. Not only good experiences, but not that bad.
And that's the only experience that I've had like that on Grindr. That was
everything else. I think this is what really that's what I think about. I'm trying to think of a really intense horror story. I'm like, but more often than not, it's pics, and I got 5 pics on my profile. He got none. How many times does that happen? Like, why are you asking me for
a
anything?
Exactly.
I don't know you. Literally, you have nothing on your profile. You have nothing. And you're asking me for stuff?
Not even a landscape.
Nothing.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag next. Anything that immediately goes to like, everything, right off the bat, I'm like, maybe before, obviously, you know, right off the bat, you know, I'm curious. All right, let's just do this now. But nowadays, I'm like, I'm tired of having the same old conversation and sending all the same stuff and the same responses and this, that, and the other. And, you know, like, first of all, nowadays, obviously, I prefer a conversation in real life. You meet somebody in real life. Scenario was last time time was, it was in Spain. It was good. In the Moog, Jesse. I was in the Moog. Damn. You see me in the Moog. And by the way, the Moog is an electronic music club. It's the size of a quarter.
You throw down a towel, you got wall-to-wall carpet.
That's true. Damn, that's true. What the fuck are you dancing there?
I was just dancing, doing my thing as per usual, not caring, and I would go to the Moog like maybe once a week, so it's just at least. And yeah, man. A guy. And then we went home. And we
gotta know it's
night.
It's a gay club upstairs.
Yeah, but so is all of... that's basically what you say of Barcelona. It's Barcelona, and there's a gay club upstairs. So anyways, that was the last time. It was like in the flesh, in the moment. And it was just like, I will never forget that. Whereas I have forgotten my 1,000,001 Grindr dates. Like, I can't remember half of them, I'd say. But I'm never going to forget it in the person, in the flesh. Meet up, an old fashioned. Nah.
I want to meet somebody in the grocery store. I want it to be real traditional.
By the melons?
Exactly.
By the cucumbers?
I want to be picking up some oranges.
Exactly. So you can really get off like right up to the start. Like, is it like this one?
Picking out some peaches.
You help me pick the peaches.
Exactly. Picking out some peaches.
He touched my hand.
I was going over the eggplants. And,
he was like, stop.
This one's for you.
Yes. I think we've exhausted this one. Unless you have anything else.
No, yeah, we've covered it all.
We covered it all. There's something wrong about number 7 and the fact that there's only one light-skinned black man.
Exactly. So number 7 is I create safe spaces for my brothers and others. And there's a photo to go along with it. It's just white folks. And then it's like one guy,
6, 7, 8, 9 white men. Like, and when I say white, I mean,
wait a minute, the one that's upside down,
he could be Hispanic. So there's 8, and then
there's only 2. One very melanated guy. We'll say that,
right? Right.
The other guy is like, he could be, but you never know.
Yeah. We have like Dawson's Creek on the left. Mm-hmm. 2, 3, 4, 5 of the worst frat bros at the bottom. And never mind. Anyways, never mind.
You know you can't remember nobody's name.
What am I doing?
So is that something that you love about being gay, that you create safe spaces for your brothers and others? I wrote down in my notes.
Please do.
I was like, again, if these are mature individuals, then they can be safe spaces. But I personally have experienced the opposite, where it's these spaces where they're super judgy and super like, who are you? And I got to see if I want to be nice to you first. And I find that in spaces where it's, where I walk into a space and it's nothing but gay men, it's not a very welcoming space. But again, the spaces do exist, but it has to be full of gay men that are mature and adults. We'll put it like that. That's one thing. So for those of you guys listening and Jesse, I remember I told Digo a story of like walking into, I don't know what I'd gone to, but it was just a group of young gay guys my age. And yeah, they were all very, like kind of catty and judgy. And I was just like, I remember telling Digo, like, I'm not cool with that. And he's like, Caleb, it's because we're adults. I was like, yeah, like, you're like, I was just like, why are we acting like we're 15-year-olds in high school? Like, I just, I don't have time for that. So anyways, those are my thoughts.
Great point. I mean, that's probably because in high school, when they weren't part of the clique, that's what they saw cliquey people do. And then once they did get a clique, they were like, oh, this is how we're supposed to act. We're supposed to do like this. We're supposed to alienate everybody else who's not in the clique until they somehow prove that they can be part of this group.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The idea of having to prove your worthiness is very childish in my mind.
You basically have to walk in with like Grindr in hand and
exactly
just like and like a bottle
goodie bag
and the other
with little dildos and
like and some pumps.
Exactly.
but whenever I go to Spain, I am met with Jesse's circle of gay friends. So I feel very welcome there. And so it depends on the gays, obviously. It depends. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Europe has that same high school sort of experience as we do here in the States.
I think, I mean, like, to take your example, for example, like my gay safe circle, like, friend zone is really close, and I mean it's really close, and it actually changed. Like the people you actually knew 4 or 5 years ago actually are not in my life anymore. So it's really in a city like Barcelona, especially, that is really actually an international city, and people are coming and going, and so it's pretty hard actually to have like a really like a safe like this kind of safe space, you know, for close people, and it goes changing. So yeah, I don't know. I don't really feel that actually. This particular point that I create safe spaces for my brothers and others. I mean, you know, not in my clothes, not in my everyday life, you know. Definitely. I don't know.
I will say, because of my experiences, I do, but I do this outside of just gay spaces, but I will go out of my way to, like, say hello, be welcoming, make sure I'm, like, inviting as possible, to make sure I don't give off this, like, I don't know you, like, no. Are you worthy enough to be my friend? Are you worthy enough for me to talk to? Like, I do try and go out of my way to just, like, hey, nice to meet you. Such. It doesn't mean we have to be best friends, but, like, just courtesy, just common courtesy.
Definitely, like, to be open. But the thing is, I mean, what I hear when I read safe spaces, it's like really like something like, you know, this kind of. I mean, I wouldn't fit in a safe space with someone I barely know.
Yeah,
definitely.
Gotcha. I remember that story you told, Caleb, about you and there was like this one gay that like you didn't say hi to, or they didn't say hi to you.
Yeah, that was during that time we talked about on the podcast, on the first episodes. His name was Fred.
Fred, say their name.
Yeah, no, I was here with my partner, and he came in and like just didn't even acknowledge me.
Like, didn't now say it hi was like your apartment or your partner's apartment, right? You're in your space, and that person came
exactly. That was the thing.
Your space
came in, and so I just come from a background of, if you're coming in somewhere. Even on Zoom, how when I came and I said, hello, Deagle, hello, Jesse, like, I'm coming, you guys are already here. I'm now entering your space. You know, now if I was the one coming in, then no, he's not obligated to, it's on me to introduce myself, since I don't know you. But
yeah,
to walk into someone else's space, like, you say hello, you know, I'm such and such.
And then he could die in a fire. But this, that first intro of like, hello, and then that's it.
Yeah. I
completed again, my social again, contract.
I don't need to be best friends with you. You don't need to feel obligated to be best friends with me, but it's just common courtesy.
It's just courtesy. Yeah, definitely.
And you never know when you might connect with somebody. You like, you'll judge somebody, and that's just how we are. You'll judge somebody as soon as you see them. You negative, positive, whatever it is, you're judging them. And then they speak, and you're like, oh. And it could be, you know, the worst person in the world for you, or a really cool person. So you're not going to know somebody by just their look. Yeah. And especially in the gay world, where a lot of people are trying to be something that they're not, or trying to cover up, or, you know, do extra because, you know, whatever. I am not a outwardly terribly flamboyant gay person, and especially in San Francisco, like, I'd be in these parties and all of a sudden this super flamboyant person tones everything down for me, because for this guy, I could just be myself. I don't have to be the I could just be me, and and then that comfort comes out.
And that's what that goes along with you being an individual, creating a space to be yourself. Jesse, I get what you're saying. If you think of a safe space as like, this is someone I know, someone I trust, but just creating a space that like, hey, you can be yourself. I'm not judging you. You don't have to put on for me. You don't have to be something for me. So that's cool.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Ugh. Exactly. Life is what? So fast. It's already full of so much bullshit.
That was me in my teenage years trying to be cool. What? I'm not cool. I'm so happy to be weird. I'm a nerd. Like, I embrace it. Now that's something I love. Okay. I love not trying to be cool. I'm so glad that those days are over.
I am, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not to try to fit in.
Exactly.
Now, so you may not, and me especially, because of my own choices, I don't have this. You know, I don't have my gay Friends version of Friends. By the way, who cares about Friends? Jesse, I think you like Friends. Is that true? The TV show?
Yeah. Yeah, the TV show. Yeah.
Anyways, did you watch the reunion?
No, not yet.
Thank God. Okay, anyways, next.
I think it's going to suck. But
Wait a minute. This is a safe space, Jesse. It's okay that we don't like Friends. It's okay. We're not judging you.
We're just
go ahead and like, love
and
Friends.
I feel okay with that. I am okay with that.
Somebody send me a photo of... Like,
you can't sit with us!
Somebody sent me a photo of the Golden Girls reunion, and it's just Betty White with a Ouija board. My friend sent me that just yesterday.
Oh my god!
What was I gonna say? Shit, where were we on? Friends.
Spaces.
So I don't have Friends, the TV show, gay version in around. Like, some people I know that I met in San Francisco and are still there, they're like, if I go visit them, they have had the same friend since, and they were there in 2005, and I came there in 2009, so 15 years, same friend, click.
Whoa.
Right? That blows my mind. I don't know that. I don't know what is like. I don't know what that's like. But I have that friend in San Francisco. I've got that friend in DC. I've got that friend in Spain, in Argentina, and they all make up this satellite virtual. Yeah.
Definitely. That kind of was my point, actually, because it's really, I think this Friends, the TV show, like this Friends ideal, it's really hard to actually maintain this for a long time. I mean, because you meet these people, you meet some people, you are really good friends, you build something with these friends, but then you get separated just because of life, you know, just because you just one starts to work, another one starts to build a family or just for any kind of reasons. So you get separated and you keep in touch. Yes, if you're really good friends, but you really have something together, yes, you keep in touch and you keep talking, but you don't have this close safe space, you know, that you really feel safe every day, that you like as they go to have a coffee with always the same five people. Mm-hmm. And that's also to me, it's something kind of like, whoa, those people that have the same friend they've known each other for life.
Since school, since first grade.
Uh-huh, I know.
Now, see, I have, I'm like you, Digo, where, I don't have a, and you too, Jesse, but I don't have this group. I have individuals, like all my individual gay friends from different periods in my life. Like it might be when I had my gay friends from when I worked at H&M. I have gay friends from, you know, wherever. But that's also just me. Like, that's kind of how all my friends are. Like, in high school, I didn't have my friend group. Like, I had a bunch of friends who were in a bunch of other little groups. And, all my friends are just from different periods, from whether it's high school or a different job. Yeah, I don't have this central, like, oh, it's the five of us, and we go everywhere, and we do everything kind of thing. But I don't mind that because I still feel like I have my friend group. They're just all individuals. And I'm sure if they all got together, they'd all love each other.
I do have that fear, though, if I got all my friends together, is that some nuclear bomb would go off. You know, there's just something would happen.
I think it'd be fine.
Yeah,
it'd be cool. For the most part, maybe. Now you got me thinking. I can't wait to get to this next one.
All right, let's move on.
Ooh. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to rush you. Okay.
I feel strongly about that. First of all, there's a typo. I can wait to have kids.
Number eight, for the listeners, number eight is I can't wait to have kids. But yes, I agree. I can wait.
I can do
anything I want.
First of all, my question was, what does this have to do with being gay? Straight people having babies every day. Like, what? I don't understand what that has to do with being gay.
like because something we can't functionally make it because of.
Again, we're basing this off the title of "I Love." Yeah,
that doesn't stop anybody from anything because I don't know what the current statistic is, but there's probably in the millions of kids in this world that need to be adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all sorts of ways to make babies. It's like if all the things that we have problems doing, making babies is not one of them.
That's not
a problem. Right. We can make one.
Real today. Quick. Yes.
It should be a problem, Jesus.
Right? There should be at least an accept. Right? A double opt-in. Like, are you sure? Click accept.
I told you. Seriously, I think having a kid
like should be taken. Like the payments on internet. You receive a code.
Text to your cell phone.
Are you sure?
Are you really sure? Do you really know what it involves?
It's like when you're trying to delete an app. Are you sure?
Are you really sure? Are you super sure? Call your mom first.
Exactly. We need a reference to make sure this is really you. No, I think like having a kid should be just as serious as getting married. Like all the paperwork you got to do, like, yeah, it should be. Are you sure this is what you want to do? You want to bring another person into this world?
Another one of you.
That's going to be on you, you know?
Wait, there was one other thing I'm going to say.
Even if and this is fresh off my mind because those cats at the Sibling Rivalry podcast were talking about cloning. Even if I could clone myself, that's not necessarily an incentive to get a thing I have to take care of, which is one of the reasons, and they won't want to admit it, but one of the reasons why a typical hetero couple wants a baby is so they could play with something that is like them all over again. It's like, this thing is me and I get to play with little me. And it's like, even if it was a cloned version of myself, I'm not interested, at least not right now. And if I was eventually interested, no, I wouldn't want a cloned version. I don't want me. I'll take care of somebody. Doesn't have to be an exact replica of myself, nor even close. I don't want to
take care of anything, like any other human being, even if it's a clone of somebody else.
I'll watch them for 2 hours.
Did you guys have Blockbuster in Spain?
I don't even want a bed to sit. No,
seriously. If you don't come back in 2 hours, I am putting your daughter out on the street. Like, I am done.
Well, that was to my point that, like, I view kids the way I view. Yeah, I view kids the way I view renting a movie. Like, I just want to keep it for a little bit and then give it back. Like, I don't want to keep this.
The Rent-A-Kid program. Right? The adoption agency. Like, the Rent-A-Kid program.
Rent-A-Kid. And no longer than 3 days. Like, nope. 3 days and that's enough. So I will have my little cousins over every now and then. Just because they are fun. And so I'll have them over for the weekend. So Friday, Saturday. By Sunday, I'm like, whew, okay, ready to take y'all home. Ready to take y'all home.
And what age love group?
You. Huh? So what they age? Are... oldest one is 12.
Oh, girl.
Is like 8, I think. 8 or 9. Oh, and then the youngest one is 4.
I'm tired. I'm going to bed.
They eat.
Bye.
All they do is eat. Exactly. They just eat nonstop. They're perpetually hungry. I'm like, y'all just ate an hour ago. They're like, we're starving. I'm like, What? I don't know how these parents do
That's it. Why parents are just like, buy the extra large pizza and just throw it in their face, and they're like, here's these bag of chips, here's all this stuff, just fill yourself up, please leave me alone so I can watch something
so I can just breathe.
So just get, just try and leave.
When's the last time you hung out with kids, Jesse?
Well, I had this friend, actually. She's got a kid, but he's 5 years old. He's the cutest thing in the world, but he's a battery. Seriously, it just doesn't. So he's just running from one place to another. Oh, Jesus, and yeah. So
they
sometimes
never get tired either.
Yeah, they never get tired.
No.
When they do, they get a little bit crumpy, crabby, and then start over again.
Yeah. I felt like the last time I dropped acid, I feel like under this state, I could do it. Like, I could hang out with a kid for 12 hours under the influence of LSD. Yes. Because I have all the energy and all the wherewithal and all the imagination and everything. It's not like I don't have that normally, but, like, you want me to do that all day? Girl, I can give you 20 minutes and then I'm tired. I'm expended. I have nephews in You Met Them, Caleb. You know, that day that we hung out or is like a typical amount of time I could hang out with kids before I start to just, because it's constant. It's like, you know, do, what do you, you know, play this, talk, you know, let's do this. And I'm just like, what does this end?
Only so much to do. Like, can we just watch a movie?
Yes.
Can we down sit
and just watch a movie?
That's something simple.
Smoke this. I mean, geez.
Oh man. Hey, you got your cousins. I haven't met. Maybe one day I will. The little cousins that you talk about.
Yeah, I meet them.
Play video games and stuff.
Yeah, when I take them to virtual reality.
That's something. That's something I could do with kids. If there are kids that want to play video games with me, we could play all day.
Well, that's the thing. When you have something to do with them, it's not so bad. It's after you've done the thing and they're like, what's the next thing? And you're like, but wait, we just did a thing. Don't you want to rest now?
Like, want to go to sleep?
Yeah, like, exactly. Don't you want to go to sleep? Yeah, like, what do you mean you want to do another thing? We just did a thing for 2 hours.
But yeah, before you croak and are buried, do you want to have children?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I have thought about this, and the idea of it is like, it's not bad. I'm like, okay, it could be interesting. And it's interesting when you hear people say, like, you've never experienced love until you have a kid, and like something switches in you. But I know for me right now, like, I'm just focused on my career, and I know that I wouldn't be, like, the child wouldn't be my focus. So as of right now,
so ideally, what's your perfect scenario that you have in your head when you do picture of a kid?
Oh, what? I have a bunch of little cousins. These are my kids.
I mean, like, that's in your head, when you think of the possibility of having a kid and that's yours, what's in that? Like, is it with a partner? You're in a house?
I think ideally I would want them. Yeah, I'd want to have a partner. So they have some form of like family structure.
Toss that kid to him for a second.
Exactly. You also need somebody. Yeah, I don't know how my mom did it, but I think all around that's just, it's healthy to have two parents. And I come from not exactly a single mom, but my mom did everything. So this is no bashing at all to one parent households. But I think anybody, if they're honest, like, ideally two parents would just be better. So
Jesse?
I think I totally agree. But I think it's pretty hard actually for gay people to think a perfect age to have kids, because most gay people are gonna say, yeah, I want to have fun first and then I want to have kids. So that actually means that you want to have kids when you're 50. So
85.
So you want to have kids basically like when you have your mansion and you just keep. Kids, you have kids like you have hounds, you know. It's basically, yeah. I don't know. I probably won't have kids, but I mean, yeah. It's like I'm 32, and I really don't want to think about it. Like probably for the next 10 years, so I'll be 42. I'm not saying it's too late, but I mean, yeah, I think I'm gonna say this is the perfect age. Will I be settled down at 42? Yeah. Like again, I, you know,
me. No, that's only a few years away from me. 40s.
Yeah.
Settled. I don't know what that means.
I don't feel like people. I'm not trying to get deep, but I don't feel like people take it seriously when it comes to having a kid. Like, I don't think people grasp fully what that means. Like, this is another human being with thoughts, feelings, hopes, dreams. They're going to impact the world in some way. Like, this isn't just, like you said, oh, a clone of me and I get to play with him. Mm-hmm. Like, no, this person's then going to grow up and...
Because even a clone of me won't be me. Exactly. The exact replica of me won't be me because it won't grow up the way I did.
Yeah.
And everything won't get like, any of that.
Yeah.
It'll be a stranger if that grew up without my presence. It would be a stranger. It wouldn't act like me. It wouldn't. Who knows what it would be. And but this is the luxury of being gay. The ability to really think. So what you've brought up is sometimes... Well, it should be, but it isn't necessarily a luxury in the hetero world because sometimes you just kind of slip and fall and become pregnant. You know, like it's kind of like, oh, whoops. And then because of whatever reasons, this is it. Like we're stuck with it or, you know, whatever you want to say. And those decisions weren't made. It's just we're here at this point now.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're dealing with it. Or it is like kind of like lighthearted. It's like, oh, I got married. I already did the biggest thing I've ever thought of. And now we're going to do the second biggest thing. Having a kid. Like, second biggest? Like, it is... like people who like we're pregnant now. Now we're going to get married. I'm like, why don't you do the pregnancy first and the child first? Do that for a few years. You guys aren't killing each other. The baby's okay. Then celebrate and get married and do that whole thing. Because a kid is literally your life is canceled because you got to bring up this other thing for at least longer than an extended warranty. That thing is going to be around you and like,
and then, but
pecking
to my point,
at you for shit. Yeah.
And then even if you decide that like, oh, I'm going to sacrifice being with this kid 24/7 because I'm trying to do what I need to do, then you got to worry about, well, is that kid gonna fully understand and how are they gonna feel later on down the road? And it's just a whole lot.
Yeah. All right, so we're not going to anybody's baby showers anytime soon. Okay. You know, number nine. Yeah, no. Number nine, I think, was a lot like the...
Number 10.
Well, nine, I felt it was like a lot the same as the spaces.
A seven. Yeah.
So, do you have anything to say about it, though, Caleb? Did you?
I wrote down Waka Flocka meme. Have you ever seen that meme, Waka Flocka, where he's just like, okay. Like, that's how I feel about that. I'm just like, okay, if you want to have your chosen family, great. I mean, all right.
And I guess this is more poignant for people who, like, you know, their parents threw them out to the right. Yeah. And then they don't have that family they can go back to. Mm-hmm. And so they had to. And so so that is something that gays could, or anybody who is thrown away from their family for any reason, it's nice to have some family that they can build on their own. Luckily we're all blessed with family and friends, and I haven't felt the need to do this. And I'm an only child, so I think about family as like someone of a burden. When I think about, like, oh, I got to do this for family, I'm like, oh, you know, it's like, I'm going to add more to this. I'm like, wait, I'm good with this core family. More family? No, you my best friend.
No. And I get it. Well, see, that's funny that you say that because I was thinking, like you said, you know, I'm fortunate I didn't have a situation where my mom's like, oh, I'm kicking you out or something. But because I have family, and for the most part, everybody's supportive and loving. The people who were in my life when I wasn't fully out and I was still coming to terms and with being gay and whatnot, who helped me along the way, I never considered them family. I was just like, this is a very influential person in my life because I had my big family, and it was like, I don't need any more.
Want any more.
Yeah. But you know, I'll welcome the mentor. I'll welcome the very close friend, or you know, somebody just helping me and encouraging me along the way. So interesting that felt that way as an only child. And I'm like, I have siblings. I have three of them, and I'm like, I'm good. I have a family. Bring on the friends. We got plenty of family.
I think 10 ends with what we're trying to do here. This whole episode not necessarily just mentor like other gays, but like,
wait, you got to say what number 10 is.
Oh,
number
10 sorry. Says,
I am a mentor, and you can be too.
And you can be too.
With a monthly subscription of $9.99, you can be a mentor.
For just $5.99 a month, you too can be a mentor to gay kids in need.
Like, have I ever signed up and actually been a legit mentor? And this is foreign to me. But advice? How much advice have I? I'm nothing but advice. And I hope that this episode is like, I'm sure if anybody's going to watch, it's going to be anybody who follows us who's gay, you know, probably. But it's not my responsibility to teach. But hey, if somebody wants to listen and hear what I have to say and it might benefit them, then I'm all about it. Like, if you want to listen, I won't fight you to listen.
I kind of feel like that's what, I don't know, for me, like recently, I just kind of been feeling like, I feel like that's what life is all about. Like, you going through whatever you got to go through, learning your lessons, and then kind of passing that on to the next person so that it doesn't take them as long to get to, like where I'm at 30, I'm passing on the lessons that I've learned now so the person at 25 can get it at 25 instead of taking until they're 30 to get it. So,
as you said, it's more about sharing, I think, than teaching. It's not about being a mentor.
Yeah.
We all go through experiences, different experiences and different ways through life, and just go sharing these experiences and what you learned through that. I mean,
And so, and I think that is the biggest teacher. Someone seeing just you and your walk through life, like you not actually, like you said, you not actually saying this is what you need to do and yada yada yada, but it's like someone just watching you be yourself, how you handle situations, how you go through life, that is the best teacher.
Exactly.
Like you said, sharing is actually
what would be your advice, each one of you, to sprouting gay people in this world?
Sprouting gay. They're little plants. They're just popping up everywhere.
One piece of advice.
It's kind of cliche, but the first thing that popped in my head, I would just like, it's true. You got to love yourself. Like you do. Like that's the basis. At least that's what for me in my life. Like you got to start there. You got to love yourself, because if you don't love yourself, you're not going to be able to fully accept any love that someone's trying to give to you. But also, you can't be the best for anyone else if you're not fully loving and healed yourself. So, just start there. Just wake up every morning. Like, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm here. and I'm doing all right, and I'm worthy, and all that stuff, all that Oprah stuff. Okay, it's true though. It's true though. Like
all yeah, that RuPaul stuff.
Yeah, the root exactly. The RuPaul stuff. Because that's what RuPaul says. If you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going
to love somebody else? Get his amen.
Exactly.
Now let the music play.
Right. Yeah, but no, that would be. I think that's the foundation. I'm all about. You got to have solid foundation, and that's the foundation of loving yourself. And then you know, you got that solid foundation, and you can grow from there.
Yeah. I totally agree, and I would say also mine would be actually to feel free, also to feel you, to be yourself, you know, like to love yourself, also to feel free and be yourself and not be ashamed and of who you are, you know.
And I would say you are your height, your body shape, your hair color, your have two hands, if you have two hands, and there's a laundry list of things that you are, and one of those is gay, but it's not the thing that you are.
I love that, man. I love that. Can I just I love that, because what you hear a lot is people say this is who I am, and I always like to say no, it's just a part of me. Like being gay is not who I am, in the same way that being Black is not who I am. It's just a part of me, in the same way that being a singer is just a part of me. That doesn't make up everything that I am and what I can do or what I can't do. Yeah, it's just another piece of you, a wonderful, beautiful piece, but just a piece. You know, you're so much more than just that. Yeah. So now that. Amen. Y'all just coming with it today. Church service was great.
We could have cookies afterwards. Who's got the right. Empanadas?
Some Popeyes.
Oh God, why you gotta say it like that?
Do you guys have Popeyes in Spain, Jesse?
No.
Yeah.
For a fact.
Oh, what are peppers?
Exactly.
Potatoes.
No, it's a fried chicken fast food restaurant. They do have fries, so they have and they have mashed potatoes.
Yeah, but like
it's a yeah.
Okay, no, we don't.
It's good. That's why you guys are healthy and not obese.
We have some other disgusting things. Oh, Popeyes. Mm-hmm.
So
that looks amazing.
They opened up that chicken sandwich place. Remember I told you, and like whatever, it was by where I lived and everything. And it was this amazing chicken sandwich, like a standalone, their own restaurant. It wasn't a chain or anything. They just, you know, kind of like all we make are chicken sandwiches with good stuff. Man, Jesse tells me it closed because of the pandemic.
Aww.
I'm talking about this chicken sandwich rivaled any chicken sandwich I've ever eaten. And they're closed.
Aww.
What?
I'm sorry to hear that.
It was like two blocks away from my house there. Well, the place I always stayed at. It was like, oh, chicken sandwiches anytime I want. Yes. No.
Yeah, not anymore.
Leave it to the Antium Stars podcast to end this. To talk about gay and then always go back to
Popeyes. And all Popeyes. We talk about Popeyes way too much on this podcast, Jesse. Like, way too much.
Fried chicken.
Can't help. We should be sponsored by them. They should be paying
you
us.
You should. I was going to say, are you sponsored?
One day, it is
you
actually...
Ask. You should say.
Does anybody ever say this? Like, I wish to be sponsored by something, probably, but I wish to be sponsored by Popeyes. But not, I don't even like, well, Popeyes. Money's nice, but I would just want a lifetime supply. I like that's if you could pay me that, I want a lifetime supply of Popeyes. Or send me a few coupons. I don't know. That's what I would want.
Oh my gosh.
Free chicken for a year.
That'd be amazing.
No stipulations. If I go 10 times a day,
exactly.
Don't look at me wrong.
I would do that for cheesecake.
Ah, cheesecake. Cheesecake is good. There's some good cheesecake. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What would I do that for?
Yeah.
I love breakfast food, and then I love potatoes. But like, I can make potatoes by myself. I just, because potatoes, so I love potatoes because you can have them so many different ways. Mashed potatoes, french fries, baked potato. There's so many different things you can do with it. Roasted potatoes. Yeah, I don't know. But I love a good waffle. I do. I do. Okay, okay, okay. Okay, okay. Now they're wrong. Okay, okay.
Jesse, you're stranded. I think I've asked you this question before. I think it started with you, and then it went, and I've asked. You're stranded on the deserted island for the rest of your life, and there's a magical plate, and on this magical plate, food appears. You eat the food, it just pops back off, but it's the exact same food. It's the best version of it. So for me, this is a plate full of Popeyes. I eat the Popeyes, boom, more. My mouth is salivating at this. Okay, this is how much I love this idea. What is your plate full of food?
So is it always the same one?
Always the same. Well,
like the same food. So is it the same dish, the same Popeye dish, for example? Or is it, if it's a Subway sandwich, does it have to be the same sandwich, or the same Subway sandwich all the time?
Exactly. I've made variations of this, but yeah, like if you love soup, obviously it could be like different types of soup or something. Well, no, that's too big. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it could be a little variation. A little, but not like it's French dish cuisine one day and then it's like Spanish cuisine and then it's
I would say probably pizza. Probably.
Pizza's great.
Because you can like you can like make some kind of
That's true. All sorts of toppings.
More versions of it, you know, like,
That's how you cheat. You're like, I want some waffles today, so I'm going to go waffle pizza.
Or maybe some waffles maybe on top of your pizza.
Put a little bacon, some maple syrup.
Yeah. I hope our islands are together. You know, you could swim over, you can have some Popeyes. I could swim over, can have some pizza. Exactly. And Caleb, just have a french fries.
Well, maybe I want to have breakfast food. Like, you guys come to my island for breakfast, then I'm coming. Okay. I'm coming to Deagle's for lunch, and then I'm coming to Jesse's island for the pizza for dinner.
Exactly.
Here we go.
Exactly. I'd be like, Jesse, eat that pizza faster. I want the reset.
You can't. That's right. You can't put in a new order for a new pizza until the other pizza's gone,
completely gone. Like, you have to eat the entire thing. It's like, come on. And he had to get pineapple pizza, and I'm like, I'm not gonna eat that.
Pineapple pizza is great. What?
I love that shit. I know.
People I do too. You know what? I'm swimming back to my island. You guys can keep your pineapples. I am going back to
help. I'll help you with that pizza, Jesse. More pineapples for us.